Gentlemen, and welcome to the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am the Twitterless heroine, the queen of soft style, and your host, Miranda Morales. Welcome to another edition. I am so excited for today's show. This is happening right after Money in the Bank, a few days after. And for those of you who don't know, if you don't have a TV, if you're living under a rock and completely avoiding the internet, then you know something really great happened at Money in the Bank with one of my favorite wrestlers. But before we get to that, I do want to do, you know, a little housekeeping items, just clean up, you know. No one wants to party with a dirty house. So I'd like to introduce my co-host, the permanent co-host of the Hashtag Miranda Show, Greg DeMarco. Greg, you must be as excited as I am, right?
Of course I am. How could I not?
Yes.
I'm excited that I'm like the dirty house that has to be cleaned up.
Yes.
Or I'm the dirty floor. I don't know what I am, but you got to do house cleaning, and then you could, I don't know.
Yes, and then
I
get to get around to you. That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Like, you started going. I was like, cool, she can do it without me. I'm just sitting on mute.
No. At least so people know that you're here. I mean, I will, you know, keep on talking, especially about today's topic, without you. But just so people know that, you know, you're around, you're here. Especially because I will be addressing tonight's hashtag Miranda Rights. We do have them. And it's not bad. It's not bad. Nothing that you're going to cry about, as far as I know. But who knows? You do cry. So.
I was about to be like, when have I ever cried? And then you busted out a year to cry. I think you've confused me with my co-host on my show, Patrick O'Dowd. He's the crybaby.
Well, both of you can be crybabies on totally different topics, but, you know, cry. Cry all you want, you know. I do want to let the listeners know, and you may, if you are listening to the Hashtag Miranda Show, you may know that this show is part of the Chairshot Radio Network. You can visit thechairshot.com for all your wrestling news, opinions, and analysis. And I mentioned I am the queen of soft style. That was a name bestowed upon me by my love of soft style t-shirts that are available on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There you can find a plentiful amount of t-shirts there, all available in soft style. A nice cotton soft style, breathable, flexible, lots of colors, lots of fun different designs. I mean, you have it all, really. What else do you want? What else do you need than just a soft style t-shirt? But trust me, you know, once you go soft, you never so unsoft. Gonna work on that. That's the one. That one's a work in progress. Yeah, we'll figure that one out. But I, you know, love the soft style T-shirts there. So, and again, I am the queen of soft style, so I know. But
you do.
Yeah, yeah. So do not forget. I wear my soft style T-shirt to the gym. I wear it out and about in town, and it's great. Also because it, you know, Greg gave it to me, so I love free stuff. What can I say? I'm a mark for free stuff.
You are. You earned it, though. You earned it, so it's okay.
Yes, I earned it for dealing with you.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, I just want to jump in because you asked with the shirts, and you described so eloquently how amazing the shirts are, and you asked what more could they need. Maybe they could use 20% off, and they can get 20% off right now.
What?
By going to prowrestlingtees.com/charityshot. Pick all the shirts you want. Put them in your cart. And then use the promo code SPRING, and you can get 20% off from now until May 27th, noon Central Standard Time on May 27th. Promo code SPRING, you can get 20% off of your order over at ProWrestlingTees.com. Any order at ProWrestlingTees.com, but of course, your order of, you know, Chair Shop merchandise. 14 different designs, by the way, that you can pick between, including Baron Corbin Sucks, Suck It Nerd, and so many more. So there's just a lot of great, great designs out there that you can have. So, yeah.
Don't wait. Especially if the soft style runs out, there's nothing I can do for you. I have some sway, but not that much sway. You know, I can't just magically make soft style t-shirts come appear for you. So don't miss out on this opportunity for your soft style t-shirts, because trust me, it's comfortable like a summer breeze. And especially when you live in Arizona, you can appreciate any breeze that you can get. Yes.
You sure can. So, you definitely can.
Yes. So, don't miss out on this opportunity. 20% off. And you're supporting thechairshot.com with, you support myself. So if you love all of this, as I sway my hand around to show you, you know, all of this mess, then, you know, get a t-shirt. If you support, you know, other great wrestling shows, podcasts that are on the Chair Shot Radio Network, the news of thechairshot.com, all of that, please go to prowrestlingtees.com. So with housekeeping out of the way, not to say that that's anything dirty, but I have business to attend to. I have a celebration to have.
You do?
But also right before we do that, I do have to give Greg his hashtag Miranda rights for today's show. And for those new listeners, yes, the hashtag Miranda rights are rights that I read to Greg that pretty much dictate what he has to do, what he can or cannot do during the course of this show. So we had lots of fun with it because it is the only show on the radio network that I know of that makes Greg DeMarco do and say silly things, which, you know, everyone is dying to see. So I take that with great pride, but also with great responsibility. You know, I try and make all of these rights really meaningful, and so that Greg knows that, you know, sometimes it's okay to put the shoe on the other foot. Live in those shoes for a little while. Who knows? You may like them. But really, it's just to make him do things that make him feel uncomfortable, which, you know, that's really why I do this. This is why I do a lot of things, just to make Greg feel uncomfortable.
It works.
And it works pretty well. So, Greg, for tonight's hashtag Miranda writes, you have the right to remain silent, and everything you say can and will be used against you. I have two requests, actually, for tonight. The first one, actually, is a limitation request. This is going to limit the number of times you're able to do a particular thing. And actually, Greg, you do have the right to play buttons tonight. However, you will be limited to only three, I would say not even just three buttons, but three buttons. Instances.
Okay.
That's the best way to put it. So you can only press your buttons three times during the duration of the show. And that's it. Once you've pressed it, you're done for the entirety of the show.
Do you know how difficult it was for me to get a heart into the title of this show? I just want to point that out. is you're making rules. Like it was not an easy thing to do. Like it's, you can see in the description, it wouldn't even go into the description. I only was able to get into the title. Like, it's got to be worth something to you.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No. Three buttons. That's it. Three instances. Not three buttons that you play throughout the show, just three.
Right. So let me ask you this. What if one of those buttons is to support your efforts?
Greg, look, as much as I appreciate supporting my efforts, I know how much you love the buttons. Patrick and I have almost had interventions because of the buttons. So I'd like to think that this is kind of a first step. You know, maybe not complete some cold turkey, but something to just think about. Something to think about, using your buttons more wisely, Greg, because you can't just be pressing buttons left and right. I mean, granted, I do love the buttons, especially when they're for me and they're not, you know, buzzing me out of a topic that I'm talking about or, you know, all of that. Trust me, I love the buttons, but, Greg, you may have a problem, and I think this is time to address it.
I don't even use the buzzer on you during your show. Anyway, first of all, maybe
you don't
I have
use the buzzer on me on my show.
Maybe
but
I have
I'm
once
just,
or twice,
Greg,
but
Greg,
you know, maybe
this
I have.
This is my show, so that is,
this is
the
your
first
show.
Of the hash.
I mean,
the first of.
I'm coming off a really good weekend here. I mean, we you were at the show on Saturday, like that went really
yes.
well. I'm still getting comments
very
on
well.
That. Money in the Bank was a very good show. I thoroughly enjoyed Raw. I'm excited about SmackDown. Like, we're riding high now. It's just, I'm just, you know, I'm just pointing things out. That's all. Just trying
yes,
to.
Yes, I know. And again, for new listeners, I'm having this mini intervention because Greg loves the button bar that he is the master of these buttons. I have no control over these buttons. So the reason why I'm putting a limitation is, you know, on them is just, you know, see if we can bring Greg back in a little bit, just, you know, just a bit, you know, so he actually has to rely on, you know, conversation and, you know, his ability to make good points instead of just buttons to prove his points. You know, he's really a crutch, Greg. The buttons are a crutch. Well, now he's not talking to me. Well, that's just what happens. You have to.
That's just because I had the mute button on. But I don't want to think of it as a crutch. I want to think of it more as focusing on the things that you're good at, focusing on the things you do well, or a crutch. A crutch could work too. That's fine.
A crutch could work. I mean,
yeah, crutch could
work.
It's
a pretty crutch, entertaining crutch, but still, you know. Let's,
just know
let's,
that.
Let's live it on. Let Greg DeMarco stand on his own 2 feet, y'all.
If I'm limited to three. I am going to really cherry pick those three.
Okay. That's what I'm interested. That is the point. I'm very interested. Strategery. It's all about strategery.
Yeah, strategery. 100% strategery.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
One down, two to go.
Yes, that's one. Strategery. Yeah, you followed it well. I do have another Miranda Writes for you today.
There's another one?
Again, another one. You talked about
Miranda
Writes.
Funny is when you,
things have been great.
When you started the lead-in with the Miranda Writes, I figured you were going to go with, like, seven. I thought when I knew there was going to be a number coming after you revealed that part, I was like, okay, maybe seven, and she'd keep track. Three. I feel like I got lowballed with three, but I'm okay. I got two left, and I'll make the most of them. So I'm going to make
All right. So the other one's just a little silly one, and it leads into our first topic, our primary topic today. But, Greg, every time, you know, I tell you, just, you know, I'd love for you to say something nice about Bailey. I'd like for you to compliment her. I'd like for you to, you know, say you love Bailey. You're a Bailey fan, because I am. I'm a huge Bailey fan, and that is what I'd like to take the first portion of tonight's show to talk about, is really her big win at Money in the Bank, both with winning the women's Money in the Bank ladder match and cashing in on the same night. Spoiler alert. So if you didn't watch it, just too late. So sad, too bad.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
How do they not know?
But, yeah, I just got to make you randomly say nice things about Bailey.
So basically, like every other week of my life. So let me ask you this. First of all, fine. I got to say nice things about Bailey. I'll do that. That's okay. I just realized I literally titled the show Miranda Loves Bailey, not even the hashtag Miranda Show. I got to fix that here in a second. Do you want me to lead in for you with some Bailey theme song? And if the answer is yes, that cannot count towards the three, because that is for the use of you on your program.
Greg, I see what you're trying to do here. You know, I can really appreciate that you're trying.
It's for you.
No, yeah. I still feel like this is just a way for you to press another button without it counting.
You know what? Never mind. I got three, right? I'm going to use one just for you. Meant you were stuck with the whole thing because I wasn't going to use another soundbite to end it. I'm not giving you two.
No.
I'm only sacrificing one for you.
Anyways, so as I mentioned earlier, Bailey won the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, and she cashed in successfully on Charlotte Flair to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. And the reason why I'm a huge mark for this particular event is, of course, I'm a big Bailey fan, and I have a little bit of history. I've been a fan of hers for several years. Going back to her later NXT days, I would say right around her big kind of rivalry with Sasha, and this was, I would say, the first rivalry she really had with her, kind of when she was teamed up against or she was teamed with Summer Rae, Sasha and Summer Rae. You know, we're kind of bullying, you know, Bailey a little bit, and we're making fun of her, and her character at the time too was really kind of over the top hugger, big fan girl, and all of that. And then as you kind of see her progress, especially after that women's Fatal 4-Way match with her, Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte, you really kind of saw a turn in her, someone who's more serious, someone who realized, you know, I remember her saying her big promo before her big NXT Brooklyn match with Sasha. I'm tired of having my parents and my family see me lose all the time. I'm tired of getting so close but not quite winning. And how that spirit really carried her through. I've been very attached to her storyline in NXT. And, of course, that match was with her and Sasha Banks at Brooklyn was just – I mean, amazing. It made me really excited about women's wrestling, and it was done so well. I love the dramatics of wrestling. I am a wrestling fan that really likes, you know, the wrestling components and really strong wrestling matches. But at the end of the day, I know as a fan, I love the drama. I love the storytelling. And in that particular rivalry, you saw that they were just complete opposites, complete polar opposites. But the heart that Bailey had in that was just something that really resonated with me. And when the other four horsewomen went on to Raw and she stayed behind in NXT, I think it really allowed her to grow as a performer, as a wrestler, to really see her face adversity on her own, and how she tackled all of these different challenges. While the fans adored her, really, she had such a big fan base. And now we're in this phase where I see a lot of parallels between kind of her rise in NXT and even, you know, her initial run on Raw to where she, you know, year or so for Bayley has kind of been up and down. She's kind of been, you know, more in the background compared to, you know, some of her, the people she was in NXT with. Of course, you know, mentioning, you know, Sasha and Charlotte and Becky. And then we had this glimpse of maybe this, you know, program, this rivalry with Sasha Banks again, which I was very excited for because that's money. We know that that's such a good program. But then, you know, to kind of see that turn into more of a tag team for the Women's Tag Team Championship, which, you know, was okay. But I think we really kind of missed that element. And still I felt like Sasha was the one who was shining a little bit more than Bayley. Now with Bayley moving over to SmackDown, being part of the Women's Money in the Bank, her first one, and her now, you know, cash getting that briefcase, I just felt some of that electricity that I remember that she had back in NXT, that big fandom, the big roar, the big support, but also a bit of that underdog characteristic, that big, you know, someone who's worked really hard and still was being looked over, who had to really fight and claw her way up literally a ladder to get somewhere. So I was really thrilled about that part. And then the way that they launched that Money in the Bank cash-in, I mentioned before on air on the Greg DeMarco show how I was not a fan of the idea of the immediate cash-in or the same night cash-in for the women, because Alexa Bliss had done that the year earlier. However, the way that they did that with Bayley, with her kind of almost happenstance, almost like magic, almost like just something, kind of all the elements came together for her to do it, and seeing her face looking at her briefcase and her, I thought I read her lips when she said "F it," you know, "Fuck it." That's, you know, not very kid friendly, but it was almost like, well, hey, what else do I have to lose? And that whole cash in was beautiful. So I was just really excited about, you know, how she won both the briefcase and the SmackDown Women's Championship. And I hope that this is a good track for her in the future. Greg, that was pretty much my whole confession, my love of Bayley. I'm interested in your thoughts. I know that you are, you know, fair to Bayley. You can appreciate her. You like her. But what was your take on, you know, her getting the Money in the Bank and then the cash in?
I love Bayley. I think, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm not even going to go with the Miranda Wright's answer, because I really don't have to, like, you know, embellish upon how I feel about this one, because I did think it was great. Like, I really thought that the cash-in was well done. The whole situation was done really well. I didn't expect Bayley to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. I didn't pick her to win. I didn't have her as my should, anything like that. For some dumbass reason, I picked her, but that's a whole other neither here nor there. Sometimes in hindsight, you're like, oh, what was I thinking? I mean, you picked Alexa Bliss. So, yeah. There's
yeah, that. I know. Yes. I did.
So we were both way wrong, and that's fine. We're in that one together. But
it's good to be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah, I bet you are. Definitely happy to be wrong there. My thing with the whole deal is that, you know, when I look at wrestling, and this is something that people sometimes misinterpret or misunderstand because they're too busy trying to complain about stuff. I look at wrestling for what it is, and then I figure out how they got there and where they can go. And that's a really brief and oversimplified summary. But I really thought the whole cash-in situation was done so well. I feel a little bad because this is outside of WrestleMania. This is the second one of the big pay-per-views where the women were kind of done by the middle of the show. And I think that this maybe could have gone on like right before the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Who knows? I actually think Bayley should have had a bigger platform, so to speak, for this cash-in. But having Charlotte win in the manner in which Charlotte won. Like, it all played in perfectly to the culmination when Bayley won. Like, it wasn't just Bayley cashing in. It was Bayley cashing in on Charlotte, who had just forced Becky into a match sooner than Becky was supposed to have it, after Becky had a match with with Lacey Evans. Like, it was the whole way that it built up to that climax was perfectly done, and that, I think, made the moment even bigger for Bayley. And you know, you talk about how you didn't want the immediate cash in to take place, but that really was a perfect time to do it. Now, there could have been another time where Charlotte gets one over on Becky mentally and plays into Becky's prideful nature, get a title opportunity, and then Bayley cashes in afterwards to end up pulling one over on Charlotte. But the way this was done, the beatdown with Lacey and with Charlotte on Becky, and then, you know, Bayley coming out for the save. The only thing I questioned was why she still had the briefcase with her for the save, but obviously she needed to have it there because she was cashing in. The crowd getting involved with, you know, rooting on Bayley. Bayley not sure if she should, because it's almost like you could see it, that in Bayley's mind, her cash in was always going to be a legit cash in, where she was going to use it to challenge for a match at SummerSlam or something like that. And in that moment, she decided, I'm here, Charlotte's down, the people want it, I want to be champion, you know. And if you think about the fans' narrative, I've been put through all this terrible booking for so long. Yeah, fuck it, I'm going to cash in right now. And that's, of course, what she did. And it worked out really well.
She listens to the fans. She is someone who is connected to the fans. So to have them behind her, cheering her, believing in her, I think that even adds more to the motivation of, you know, they believe I can do it, so I'm going to do it type of thing. So I loved it. And this is the Bayley that I do truly like. I wasn't a fan of some of the way that her storylines went with Alexa Bliss, where she was looked at more like a child in a way. And that's something that I know with her character is can be kind of wish-washy, because she appeals to children. That's something that Patrick O'Dowd told us, you know, earlier tonight. He went to Money in the Bank and he saw two kids, and he asked the kids, who are they there for? And they said, Bayley and the New Day, which again, probably is more of a testament to me being almost like a grown-up child. But I mean, this is wrestling. If there's no part of you that is somewhat childish, mm-hmm. then what are you here for? But I think that her, as you know, one, she plays as underdog really, really well, but also now having this little spin on her, that someone, you know, almost that she feels like that she's not tied down anymore, that she's finally making decisions, you know, for herself. And yeah, they may seem, you know, a little different than what she anticipated. Like you said, you know, she was going to go in for a legit cash-in, but hey, everything aligned, why not do it and be successful? I mean, what else could you ask for? So I was really surprised on how well they did this. And I think that's where, you know, being a wrestling fan, we go in ebbs and flows. And why there is seemingly more continuous hate on things is because we get disappointed when especially our favorites are booked in ways that we don't understand, or we can't really believe, like, why would they do that? Or, you know, that just doesn't come off as well. And I think for me as a Bayley fan, one of the reasons I picked Alexa is because I just feel like the company just favors her more. They've given her bigger platforms, bigger stages, bigger rivalries. So my initial gut was, well, they'll just give it to Alexa because they like her. And I'd been disappointed before in how they booked Bayley, but every so often they come up again, and I think this is a love-hate relationship with wrestling. They'll do something that just makes you feel like, man, this is why I love wrestling. This is why I do it. And then eventually we get disappointed again because of something, and then we love it again. And, you know, it is almost that self-awareness of being a wrestling fan and almost understanding that this is a pattern. And if you're not a big fan of this pattern, then maybe don't watch this type of wrestling or this product or wrestling at all. And that's not a way to shoo anyone away from this. Wrestling is such a wonderful, it's a wonderful element of entertainment and sports and all the things that we love. But you also have to take the good, take the bad, take them both. And there you have the facts of life. I mean, that's
the facts of life. Really, sorry, really. I had to do the extra part there.
Yeah. So that is just my take. But celebratory day, again, I was just very excited about that. Money in the Bank overall was a shock show. There was some shock in there, especially during the last few moments with Brock Lesnar coming in and taking the Money in the Bank briefcase. I have to admit, my legit reaction of this was like screaming a little bit, like really loud, oh my gosh, like are they doing this? Because I just could not believe that was the direction they were going in. And we hadn't seen Brock since WrestleMania. And at first I was just shocked, like, wow, this actually happened. But the more I actually sat and thought about it, I realized that it could be a really good fit for Brock Lesnar. I think a lot of fans were completely disenchanted with his multiple title reigns because he only came around once every so often. But in some ways, the Money in the Bank seems to fit him more because it only requires him to show up. And that also adds to the element of surprise. You never know when he's going to show up. He doesn't have to be there all the time. And it does seem to add intrigue to both his decisions, you know, whether he decides to go with Seth Rollins, and Paul Heyman brought this up, again, really, really well, I think, on Raw yesterday. He could have his choice, and either choice would be very interesting. In some ways, I feel like this is karma for Seth Rollins. Seth had his Money in the Bank cash-in against Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And now Brock has, you know, the same almost weapon of destruction in a way looming over Seth's head. And that's something I don't think any of us had ever thought about, but something that could really impact Seth, you know, as a champion. And almost, you know, Seth has had a lot of karma come back to him in multiple ways with different storylines and people. You know, his betrayal of the Shield and all his stories with that. And now in this case with cashing in, you know, Brock Lesnar possibly cashing in on him. I actually like that element. But also with Kofi, if anything, this makes Kofi look, you know, incredibly valiant going up against the Beast. You know, this could be the biggest match of his entire life. I think with Daniel Bryan, it was his more athletic. But to really get established and to really solidify your career, beating Brock Lesnar is it. You know, it is one thing to be the WWE champion, but to beat Brock Lesnar, that's something no one could ever take away from you. And I'm not quite sure if the company would go in that direction or even Brock himself would go in that direction. But I think that and it is also interesting for Brock as well, you know, to go in that different direction over to SmackDown. And we've talked about, you know, SmackDown in October, looking for big names. No bigger name than Brock Lesnar. So lots of different things with that. So it took me a second to catch my breath, but I realized ultimately this is not a bad thing. I understand it could have also been great if, you know, someone in the actual match would have won, like Ali or Andrade or Drew McIntyre. That would have been great as well, truly. But they are in a really interesting time where they're playing around with different things, like the wild card, with new belts, with all these different things. In some ways, it almost seems, why not do it now? Am I crazy here, or what? Or am I or everyone else is crazy?
Yes, first of all, is the answer to that question. But just yes, but both questions, yes. First of all, when you said, you know, when you brought the wild card, I immediately started to queue up the sound bite and was like, no, wait a minute. I only got one left. Can't do
that.
By the way, I need to clarify right now. The show ending soundbite shouldn't count. Otherwise, your show will have a terrible ending. So that will be allowed.
That is all. That
show ending
is allowed.
Song
does not count as a soundbite.
The issue that people have long, they can't get away from Money in the Bank briefcase being used for nothing other than elevating somebody. And because that's what the fans want it to be. It's the same reason fans believe in wrestling news, because they want it to be true. It's the same reason a lot of things happen, because that's just simply what people want. But I mean, John Cena's held the briefcase. Randy Orton held the briefcase. Sheamus held the briefcase. None of these people needed the briefcase to be elevated when they held the briefcase. Like, the briefcase is not only used to elevate new talent. The briefcase, just like any other championship, any other anything in WWE, is a prop to further storylines. And the briefcase with Brock Lesnar is just that. And people are like, well, Brock wasn't in the match. Well, Brock was in the match because Heyman explained that the next day he used political movement to get himself put into the match. And so he was officially added to the match. I mean, Brock has as much claim to the Money in the Bank briefcase as Becky Lynch does to the Women's Royal Rumble in 2019. So they both got added to the match by a WWE official. And so that to me is fine. The briefcase, it doesn't have to be used to elevate talent. It's great when it does. But here, and here's the other thing. Bayley didn't need the briefcase to get elevated, but no one's complaining about that either because we love Bayley. And so we're okay with Bayley.
Yes. What else briefcase do you love Bayley? What else about Bayley do you love?
She always manages to achieve the perfect angle on her side ponytail. That's impressive. Like, it's really hard to pull that off without, you know, messing it up. I know I can't do that. Like, I've tried numerous times and have failed every single one of them to pull off the side ponytail. I just can't seem to get the angle right. But yeah, Bayley gets it right. Mm-hmm. Everything. She must have a cutout template or something that she uses. It's that good.
I mean, she's been doing it now for years, so I think it's on the second nature now. She could do
it
probably in her sleep.
It probably is trained to where she probably pull out the hair tie and it's still there. Which is kind of creepy, but it's very, very possible. Does she like travel with it like that? I wonder. Like if you see her in the airport, does she have a side ponytail? So,
no, it's just, yeah.
Do you stalk Bayley at the airport,
no,
Miranda? Like, you answered that question really fast.
That I had to answer that really fast, or that's how they find out. No, but I've seen, you know, promotional pictures and. You know, when she's at different WWE events and, you know, visiting with kids, and it's usually down. So I think, you know, almost in the words of Sonya Deville, you know, hair up, square up, square up, hair up. Forget.
You brought up something great. Wasn't it amazing at Money in the Bank when Sonya was about to pick up Mandy and bring her to the ring, realized that her hair was down, stopped, put her hair up, and then did it? Like, that was so good.
Yeah, I mean, it was genius. It was just, what's that say? Samson or
like,
something like that?
Like, yeah.
Who had the power in
she's
the
like,
hair.
Oh, I gotta put my hair up before I square up.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
It was well done. Very, very, very well done.
Well done.
But that's the thing.
Overall,
like,
just great.
Bayley didn't need it, but nobody's complaining about that. Brock didn't need it. No one needs anything. It's a storyline. And I like the Brock storyline. You don't have to have Brock there every week because you have Heyman there like you did on SmackDown this week. And I don't think this is going to last very long. When they were leaving during Raw on Monday, Heyman told Brock, we'll come back next week and tell them who we're going to challenge. So honestly, as much as you could easily drag this out of SummerSlam and go with Brock versus Kofi there and have Brock win, I think Brock's going to next week declare that he's using it for Super Showdown because his match hasn't been announced yet for Super Showdown, and it's in 2 weeks. So I honestly think that this is going to be a short-term briefcase run, even though it has the potential to be so much longer. And the other thing is that people complain because the product gets stale and things don't change enough in WWE. No one predicted Brock was going to be at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
No one predicted Brock was going to come out and win the briefcase. And so you got a surprise. But much again, like wrestling fans, surprise me. They surprise you. Oh, not that surprise. Like, you're never going to be happy. And that's why I talked about shifts in the product during the Greg DeMarco show. And I honestly believe we're seeing a shift in the product. I also think we're seeing them go back to let's give people what they need and not what they want, and that's when WWE is at their best because they did Happy Mania, and look where it got them. You know, Brock went away for 6 weeks, and look where it got them. It got them to the point where they had to push the reset button on some things. So WWE, trust your instincts.
I had a big revelation last week after reading the Variety article and kind of the way that they set up WWE to be this entertainment company, because it really was one of the first times I openly looked at WWE as a company that focuses on – it's an entertainment company that happens to do wrestling. And it is not a wrestling company anymore. They do have – you know, they have a platform to market – you know, their brand of entertainment, but also as a way to bring in revenue from marketing of other products. And so that's where their focus is. And they, I believe, have more of a response rate to others that they're working with in partnership than just your average fan. Yes, ratings are important, and even, you know, what people are buying are important too, but that is not going to be the end-all be-all. And I think the more that wrestling fans or WWE fans understand that or look at that and understand that it's not just about what you see every week on TV, it's about, you know, all of the deals that they have, all the other projects that they're doing, the more at peace that you'll have with what WWE is now compared to what they were 20 years ago, what they were 30, 40 years ago. Just making a little bit of peace with that, because they have really evolved. So, you know, just have a little bit of peace with that, and you won't get as frustrated, I believe. But, you know, who knows? At the end of the day, we all know what's going to happen. Brock Lesnar is going to say he is going to cash in his Money in the Bank for the new 24/7 championship, because that would surprise people. So.
And he'd make a great 24/7 champion, let's be honest.
24/7 champ, because no one going to chase after him. If anything, no one. He's going to be the longest reigning 24/7 champ ever, because ain't no one going to touch him.
It was funny. One of the things that people suggested was that Brock should, or that Seth should have hit Kofi with a chair on Monday repeatedly and then left so that Brock would cash in just because he was right there. And that would be an amazing storyline if Seth and Kofi were trying to attack each other to make the other one more vulnerable for Brock. It doesn't make sense because they're both babyfaces.
Old Seth Rollins could probably do that. And that would be funny as heck.
Dare I say better Seth Rollins. As great as Seth Rollins is doing now, that was his best work, and that's why I have three different sound bites of Seth Rollins laughing that I will not use for fear of not having another sound bite at my disposal.
Yes.
We only have one left.
Very quickly, speaking of saving professional wrestling, AEW, Double or Nothing, is happening this weekend, which seems – so kind of insane, the fact that, you know, Money in the Bank has been dominating the conversation now for the past few days, that we are less than a week away, just days away from Double or Nothing. And this is really the launching point for AEW as a wrestling company. They have defined themselves as a wrestling company in their news release of their new weekly show on TNT. They have announced they are a wrestling company. So for all the fans out there, you know, yes, there's a savior out there for you, I guess. But it's something that not a lot of people talk about because, you know, they're too busy talking about Bayley, like me. They're talking about, you know, complaining about Brock Lesnar, like other people, and other kind of, you know, random wrestling news here and there. But I want to go over a few matches on this card and a little bit of feedback that, you know, some people have been talking about regarding the cost of Double or Nothing. Right now, it looks like they also are doing a pre-show type of deal called the Buy-In on YouTube with two different matches. One is the Casino Battle Royale match. And breaking news, just released just a few hours ago, that a participant for this Battle Royal match has been announced. He is a former WWE superstar. It's confirmed that Sean Spears, also known as Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10, is an entrant in the Casino Battle Royale. So not very surprising, you know, to know kind of the history that he has with Cody and some of the team of AEW. He asked for his release from WWE and it was granted. So not surprised, but definitely an interesting element to add to this Battle Royal. And then as far as some of the matches on the main card, the big top three matches of this card is I would say, Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes, which is something that, you know, lots of people wanted in WWE and didn't get because we got Stardust, Goldust type of thing. But it has been something that's had a lot of talk around it, the match that we always kind of wanted to see as wrestling fans and will be getting. We have Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho, which was, you know, one of the first matches announced for Double or Nothing. And now, you know, you just never know what you're going to get with these two, especially with Chris Jericho. I would say that he's played a lot of this, you know, really differently than some of his other programs and rivalries. And then you have the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers, I believe for the AAA Tag Team Championships. I'm not sure if those are particularly on the line. I can't recall, but that is, you know, gonna be, I think, a really phenomenal match, but one that, too, is a tag match that could be the main event or one of the you know, main events, I could say, of this pay-per-view. So, I mean, and they have the ability to, you know, really play off things that they've been hearing from wrestling fans about, you know, matches and rivalries and things like that, and incorporate it into this pay-per-view. So, of course, there's other matches. There's a women's triple threat match. There's actually two women's matches, a triple threat match with Britt Baker, Kylie Rae, and Nyla Rose, and then a six women person tag match with, I believe, a lot of Japanese wrestling figures. That, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg.
That is true. Yeah, they are six. Yes. Six-woman tag is Japanese. Two six-person tag matches on this show, actually, since you've got SCU versus the team from Dragon Gate / OWE. So, yeah, a lot of six-person tags. A lot of tags in general. That's okay.
Lots of tags. Yeah, that's true. Then you have Angelico and Jack Evans versus Best Friends. So, you're right. There's definitely a good amount of tag matches in there. Are there any matches in particular that you are most excited about for Double or Nothing?
I'm really excited for Cody versus Dustin. Once they made the announcement, if you go back and watch All In, I really did enjoy the match between Cody Rhodes and Nick Aldis. And I thought that it was masterfully done. And Cody, for any of his faults, and I think they've made some missteps in the past few weeks with All Elite Wrestling, and I think they've said too much, so to speak, and some of it's coming back to bite them in the ass a little bit, and WWE might be using that against them and how they're doing things, but that's what you get when you poke the bear. I think this match is going to be fantastic. I think they're going to tell a great story. I think it's going to be a great ending to it. It's going to finish well, and I'm more excited about that match than anything else. My sleeper match for this show is the six-man tag with SCU versus the trio from Dragon Gate / OWE, led by Seema. I think that this match is going to be fantastic. I love SCU. I haven't talked about it much, but yeah. Patrick's favorite wrestler is Christopher Daniels. Scorpio Sky, to me, is one of the most underrated wrestlers in the world.
Absolutely.
And Kazarian is also great. So, to me, that's going to be a great match as well. I'm not that excited about Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho because we've already seen it. I think Jericho, getting to the point now where it's too much hype and everything that he's doing, and I'm just not, you know, just not buying it as much. The three-way for the women doesn't really excite me all that much. While Nyla Rose is a great story, not really a great wrestler, so I'm not that into it. The women's match at All In was terrible, and they were, you know, Cody recently was touting it on Twitter, and I'm like, I would just pretend that didn't happen because that match was horrible. And that's just what it was, not a anything. So there's a lot to be excited about for this card, but those are the ones that I'm most excited for, and I think at the end they're going to make sure that the match we're talking about is Cody versus Dustin, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think story-wise and even just match-wise, that's going to be a really fantastic match because it's rooted. I think with a lot of these other matches, there is some history, but nothing as deeply as rooted as brothers. So you automatically have people invested in that. Even if you don't know much about it, you could jump into that right away. And I think, you know, what better matches? I mean, God, it could definitely be on the caliber of Brett and Owen almost, you know?
Yeah. Because no, it could. It could, even though they didn't ascend to those same levels. It definitely could. That's why you talk about brothers. I could care less about the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers, and they're all brothers. But we've seen it before. It's you know, it's going to be a spot fest. No one cares about the AAA Tag Championships. It is a title match, as you were referring to earlier. I think they think it's a great match less than everyone else thinks it's a great match. But it's still going to be entertaining. I'm glad it's not the main event. I'm glad that, you know, I think Cody versus Dustin should be the main event. Cody has shown that he's not really doing that. With Omega and Jericho being the main event, I'm fine with that as well. But I'm still excited for it. I'm still going to watch it. I still think it's going to be great. It's just, you know, like I alluded to earlier, to me, the buzz around it is the bigger story for me right now. It's only Tuesday, so that could change. But I just not it's weird. It's weird how fast things change, because it was less than a week ago that the TV deal was announced. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's something that we've almost forgotten already because of everything that's happened with Money in the Bank. And hopefully, after Double or Nothing, the talk of the TV deal comes back up. It really is a launching point. I could see it being not necessarily a make-or-break moment, but I do think that the momentum that they have from Double or Nothing is going to carry into the rest of the summer. They do have two more shows announced for this summer. They have Fighter Fest on June 29th in Daytona Beach, Florida, and they have Fight for the Fallen on June 13th. So right now it looks like at least it could be, you know, monthly shows leading into October. And I know not a lot of details have been announced as far as what filming will look like for their weekly show on TNT. Even the name hasn't been announced yet, even though there's been a lot of speculations as to what it could be called. But it could, you know, really help carry the momentum for the rest of the summer, which then translates into the fall. But also, again, as wrestling fans, it almost seems like even if for some reason this isn't as good as maybe fans are hoping or as predicted, it seems like, too, we kind of have a short memory span. And if something else comes along that's better, or even one moment that triggers this fandom of, oh, my gosh, then they got him again. So in some ways, I feel like it is going to be important for the show to be great, but there's also going to be other opportunities or moments that could come in and help bring in the fandom if for some reason Double or Nothing doesn't quite capture the attention that they had anticipated. And that's not a knock on wrestling fans or, you know, anything. I think it's just the news world that we live in now. So don't, you know, hopefully no one is taking this as, you know, a bash on wrestling fans. Or even if you have these opinions yourself, not a bash whatsoever. I think it's just, you know, sometimes when we can evaluate ourselves as fans, somewhat like a therapy session. You could probably tell because I've been to one or two, maybe a few times. But it's all about self-evaluation. And if you can evaluate, you know, what you think and why, especially being able to defend it, it makes everything could become a lot more sense. So if you can kind of defend why you would like it or don't like it, you know, I just do some self-reflection. And one of the reasons I bring that up is that one of the points of contention that has come up is the cost. Wrestling fans are, you know, there's maybe not a huge, but there's definitely a vocal population out there who have been upset of the price. I believe $49.99 for the cost of this pay-per-view. People asking, why is it so expensive? Why don't they stream it for a cheaper price somewhere? And I think, again, we've been kind of just so accustomed as wrestling fans to having the network now for 3-4 years, where we pay $9.99 a month, we get all of the pay-per-views, including WrestleMania, for just that cost, and we have it at the convenience of our fingertips. And now that convenience has filtered into other parts of our lives, where we're thinking, why doesn't everyone, you know, do this? It's like, well, not every company is a million-dollar company, and even for those who do have millionaires backing them, AEW, how long did it take for WWE to even put together a streaming service? AEW is just in its infancy. We just learned about it in January. A TV deal was just announced this week. let the people breathe a little bit before, you know, trying to come in and doing a streaming service. And on top of that, if they're going to be under the umbrella of TNT, which is Warner Brothers, I don't think they're going to allow them to create their own individual streaming service. They're going to have to partner up with one of the other companies to do streaming. And right now, maybe they just don't have the logistics for that. So there's lots of things to think about. But, you know, I do think as, you know, as this fandom, as an environment that we're in now, we're just so used to having things right away at this convenience, at this price, that anything else that comes in that may be above it is something we may automatically dismiss. And I get that, yes, people have budgets and they don't have the time and or the money to invest in this. Completely understand. But you also have to understand that you're already setting these as two distinct wrestling companies. You know, one is a wrestling company, one is a sports entertainment company. You're already drawing that line down the sand. You can't expect then for everything to be, you know, for them to even share some similarities when it comes to streaming. You've already established they're going to be two different companies. So they're going to do things two different ways. One company is going to do things better than others. And sometimes that may be WWE, and sometimes that may be AEW. But you've already set that distinction. You gotta live in that distinction a little bit. So that was my rant, Greg.
I have less of a rant, but I definitely do have an opinion. At first, I thought the price was a little much as well, and I thought it was just kind of silly that they would charge that much. But I'm of the belief, I'm of the opinion that they're not trying to grow the fan base with Double or Nothing. Everything that I look at with Double or Nothing tells me they're going to grow the fan base. First of all, look at the marketing for Double or Nothing. Just take a look at it. Look it up. Look at the banner that was on the side of the building in Vegas. If you didn't know that there was a wrestling show, you would not know it was a wrestling show. Nothing about any of their marketing says wrestling show. It's just pictures of people. It just looks like some random Vegas show that again, if you don't know that's Kenny Omega, no one would know. It's not like they're attracting new fans with that. The price point is not going to attract new fans. It's more of they know they have their fan base and they're going to make money off of them. Then look what they did today. You mentioned it, where they announced Sean Spears as somebody in the Casino Royale Battle Royal. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Sean Spears, the former Ty Dillinger, is going to cause anybody to tune in who wasn't already going to tune in?
I don't know. Maybe it's like you're in Canada.
So no. Okay. So I'll go with no.
No.
As your answer there. So why not save him as a surprise? Like, do you get more bang for your buck by tweeting this cool little video that somebody came up with because he pulls the card number 10? Or do you think you get a better reaction when he shows up out of nowhere and is in the Battle Royal? I think you get a better reaction when he shows up out of nowhere in the Battle Royal, because who cares about Twitter and what they think? But then you got to realize, like, this is a company that all they have is social media. They're built on social media. They probably put more stock than they should in you know, likes and stuff like that, because they get nowhere near the level of, say, WWE. That's for sure. But I think this would better serve to, you know, be a shocking element that people talk about. Like, right now, people are like, wow, Ty Dillinger's in it. But if he comes out during the Battle Royal, you would have gotten a much bigger reaction on social media. More interaction, more hits, more everything through social media. So I just think that was a bit of a misstep. But again, I don't think they're trying to grow the audience, because the TV doesn't debut until October. So any new fans they gain now don't have anything to watch. And so they're going to gain these new fans, and then they're going to go away because they didn't really have anything. So I think these shows are more about getting footage together and learning how to run shows, because remember, they don't know how. They've never done it before. All In was run by Ring of Honor. And so, you know, they're really getting their feet under them, and that's what Double or Nothing and Fighter Fest and Fight for the Fallen, and they'll probably do something. You know, they've already kind of basically teased that All In 2 is going to take place probably Labor Day weekend back in Chicago. So they've got things out there to really get themselves ready. But I think this is more about the current fan base and less about growing a new fan base, which is part of the reason why the price point so much. Plus, if they charge $50 now, $60 on some platforms, and say by the time we get to All In 2, now they're charging $30, they're going to be heroes. even though they charged 50, 60 bucks for the first couple of them. So it's just all in that, you know, we only think in the now because of the social media age that we're in, and we don't think of the long term. And so I think the price point's okay, because if you really assess what their goals probably are, and I just don't see how their goal is growing the audience when they have no reason, they have nothing to keep the audience with right now.
Good, good point. Very good point. So we will see what happens this Sunday at Double or Nothing. We'll, I'm sure, be talking about it next week. You know, and who knows? This is a great time to be a wrestling fan. I think no matter what your opinion is about what's happened, you know, over the past, you know, few days or few weeks, this is an awesome time to be a wrestling fan, because you don't know what to expect. And it may not be exactly what we want, but it is, you know, or how we want it, but it is something that as wrestling, this is a great time to live in, to, like, see things change and evolve, and people move from place to place, or just, you know, fans being able to voice their opinions online. It's a good time. So at the end of the day, you do you, you know. You watch what you want, you go where you want, you know, but try and embrace this time. It's a good time. It's not all bad. It's not all bad, even though the ratings are terrible. Speaking of wrestling shows, I have to do some plugging in for myself, because, I mean, why not? This is my podcast, so why can't I? Greg's not going to tell me no. Are you, Greg? Are you?
No. Well, you just asked. Okay, so you just said Greg's not going to tell me no, and then you asked me a question where the correct answer is no.
Yes.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I just answered it for you. That was the point.
Thank you.
The point is, one thing that, again, if you're a new listener, you may not know that I am a ring announcer for some promotions within Arizona and New Mexico. So I will be doing some announcing over the next 3 weeks. It's actually a fairly busy summer out here on the West Coast. I will be going to essentially my home promotion, the promotion I got my start at, Destiny Wrestling Organizations out in New Mexico. Next Monday, May 27th, we have a show, Reincarnation, which is the first Destiny Wrestling show since October. So it's been a big pause, but DWO is back. I will be there announcing, which is I am thrilled. That is, you know, my home turf, where I got my start, and always enjoy going back there. A week later, kind of my regular promotion, where I've been announcing for the past few months, Arizona Wrestling Federation, has three shows throughout the month of June. June 1st, Saturday, June 1st, is the 2019 Wild Card Rumble. That was a name that existed before
it did.
WWE took it. So yeah, that's going to be in Peoria, Arizona. Saturday, June 15th is Summer Explosion at Odyssey in the Desert, which is Odyssey, like an aquarium area type of thing. Someone said it's going to be like wrestling underwater. No, but that's a cool idea. Someone should think of it. That's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona. And then on June 29th is the All-American Grand Slam in Tempe. I will be at all of these shows in New Mexico and in Arizona. And I'd love for you to check out these shows. You know, when in doubt, when you can't afford to buy AEW or you hate WWE, check out your local wrestling organization. That is one thing that you have control over, something that you could be a part of, something that you can be close with. Check out your local wrestling promotions out there. I know they all greatly appreciate, you know, your fandom and your time, and they're great to be a part of. You get to be part of the action. You get to see wrestlers that maybe in a few years will go up and, you know, work for Ring of Honor or for WWE or for, you know, AEW. Who knows? Who knows? And that kind of leads me to just a big thank you to Greg, who allowed me to kind of help out at a local wrestling show this past week in Tempe for IDW, which is a promotion in Arizona that ran from 2000 to 2010, if I'm correct. I wasn't a fan at the time. I wasn't really knowledgeable about local wrestling promotions. I didn't really know local wrestling existed until much later. And Greg was kind enough to help me kind of work with him during that show. And I learned a lot of history. I got to see some phenomenal matches, got to meet some great people, got to see Hall of Famer Honky Tonk Man, got to see Justin Roberts, who will be announcing at AEW, but also just see what it's like to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself, and to see how much time and energy people commit to local wrestling promotions. And it's wonderful. And if you've never gone to one, go to one. I highly recommend it. It's something that just makes you, you know, just remember all the reasons why you love wrestling and you love being a wrestling fan. But we're also part of a community. As much as we may fight on Twitter or block each other or argue, we are all part of, as Tommy Dreamer likes to say, this dysfunctional family. And we also sometimes are able to do great things for each other. So thank you, Greg, for that opportunity, for this opportunity, for being able to host the Hashtag Miranda Show, to make you say silly things. Through the end of the day, it is something that I am truly grateful and appreciative of. That means a lot. So,
well, you're welcome.
That was so nice. Yes.
I know. I've talked a little bit about the IZW show, and I feel like I'm the only person who hasn't posted on Facebook about it yet who was involved in it, but then I will. It's hard because it's one of the two, maybe three, I don't know, I gotta figure out the number, whatever, but of all things I've been lucky enough to do in wrestling, and I've been way luckier in being able to do things than I deserve. Like, I literally sent a message on MySpace in 2006 to get involved with a wrestling promotion called Rising Phoenix Wrestling. They needed a ring announcer because their ring announcer left. He was the ring announcer this past Saturday at the ICW show. I replaced him in RPW because ICW pulled him away, basically stole him from RPW, is what they did. It was a smart move in the end because the RPW guys didn't know what they were doing. But I learned that later. But that led to me getting a chance to be at IZW and eventually to work with Ring of Honor and like probably the Ring of Honor shows, getting to be, you know, to be on the inside of those, selling out the Arizona Event Center, you know, 400 people for the first PHX wrestling show. And that IZW show on Saturday night are probably the three things that I am most proud of being able to be a part of in this wrestling business. And I don't even know how to put into words like how it felt to run a show and produce a show, to kind of bite the curtain of what my role was, with so many people on it and so many people that, you know, I was an outsider when I first came in because I came from RPW over to IZW. I was that outsider that nobody wanted anything to do with, and it takes a long time to win that over and to develop those relationships. There were a lot of people there I have good relationships with. There are a lot of people there I haven't seen since the thing shut down back in 2010. So it was great to be a part of. You know, it was so many, you know, problems we had to fix and things that had to be done, and that's all part of running a show. I've actually had someone reach out to me about running their show that's coming up here soon. And so it's interesting what that may have turned into, because, you know, I really did enjoy it and loved it and have do that with that person asked me, depending if the dates work out. So it's just something I've really enjoyed, and something that sometimes you're good at something you didn't even know you were good at it or you could do it, and that seems to be one of those things. You were a tremendous help, and I do definitely thank you for that. You were kind of you were on the right. That's you were my right hand. Justin was my left hand. So big thanks to both of you. You probably did more than he did, but that's okay. You probably won't listen, so I'll say that out loud. But it's just everybody put on a hell of a show, raised a lot of money for a man by the name of Jerry Gray, who gave so many people opportunities so many years ago. And he's in cancer treatment right now. The money was really to go to the other costs that you think you can't pay for because you're dealing with cancer treatments. And I know that was an overwhelming amount, way far exceeded what they expected to be able to raise. And just a fantastic opportunity, and so great so many of those people. We have people that want to come on air with us as a result of the shows this weekend, and just really great to see everyone come together in such a good time. And you know, not to go too personal or whatever, but to have the Honky Tonk Man say you did a good job at something, or even a Justin Roberts tell you repeatedly that you did a great job, it does mean something to you when you realize these people have been produced by Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon and all these other people. It does mean something to you to have them say that. So, yeah, it's hard to put into words what that meant and how grateful I am to the Navajo Warrior and to Morgan for having me to do that, and just for the opportunity to be there, and for the opportunity to get you involved in it. Yeah, it was really, really cool. So I am super excited about that and excited we got to do it. And it's one of those things, it may never happen again. You just never know. So you got to just enjoy the moment and roll with it from there.
And ultimately, that's what, again, of being a wrestling fan and being part of wrestling is about. So, again, you know, WWE may not be your cup of tea. AEW may not be your cup of tea. But, you know, there's tons of promotions out there who, you know, would love your support, who want to bring in fans. So give them a try, you know, see what's out there. Get, you know, just test out the waters and know that there's people all over this country who are wrestling and trying so hard to just run, you know, shows for people who enjoy wrestling, for this kind of, again, you know, odd, eclectic, dysfunctional fan base, but who else will do it, you know? What else are we going to do? So, you know, sometimes when you get upset, when you're not, you know, maybe you're angry at someone or something, you know, take a moment, breathe, and know that, you know, everything's going to be okay and we're all in this together. So, and as you know, that's, now you know why I'm a baby fan, because I'm literally just a hugger. Just hug it out. Just hug everyone. Just hug.
I mean, every time I've seen you, I have received a hug. So that's true. And it's not that creepy, "Where's my hug?" like you see some dudes do either. Like, I was hugged. It was not the other way around, because I hate those guys and I want to beat them up. Yes. But I don't want to get arrested. And they're the same kind of guys that would arrest you or get you arrested. They wouldn't arrest you because they're not tough enough to. But they would try to get you arrested. So, yeah, can't do that. Yes. But that's just what comes with territory sometimes. I didn't even know we would go that far into detail about it. But so I appreciate that, because I haven't. And I used Driving with DeMarco to talk a little bit about it. But I brought it back to, you know, credibility and things within the wrestling business. But fully honest with you, I haven't come down off the high of that show fully yet, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, I think that's maybe part of the reason why I enjoyed Money in the Bank so much. Like, I was just in love with wrestling at that point. And it's a business like none other. It really isn't. And it's a tough business. It's a business that will chew you up and spit you out, and it owes you nothing. And people sometimes need to understand that, but it's also beautiful and poetic, and just, it really is unlike any other. And that's why so many people love it so much and really can't explain why they do. Because usually when we explain things, we do it through a comparison to other things and something that's comparable. And there's just nothing in the world like professional wrestling. And that's one of the reasons why we love it so much, because we can't get it from anywhere but this.
Yeah. So, everyone, thank you so much for joining us for this edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Do not forget that you can find us online. You can follow Greg on Twitter at ChairShotGreg. You can also follow thechairshot.com at thechairshot.com, not dot, just thechairshot.com on Twitter. I am not on Twitter because, you know, that's a lot to handle.
And
I just talked about peace and love and hugs, and I probably wouldn't be saying all that if I had a Twitter account. Again, not to say that you know, people aren't great. There's a lot of great interactions on Twitter, but I'm just staying away from that for a while. However, I am on Facebook, Miranda Morales. You can check me out. Feel free to message me, to add me as a friend. You are more than welcome to suggest future Hashtag Miranda writes for Greg. We took it easy on Greg this week.
You did.
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. I mean, three buttons seems to be a lot for him, though, because he's saving all of them until the end, apparently.
I've already used two of them.
Again.
So I only got one left.
You have one left. not including the end song. Yeah. But feel free to message me or friend me on Facebook with any questions, any recommendations you have for the Hashtag Miranda Show or just the Hashtag Miranda Writes. We will be back next week with more wrestling news and all the good stuff.
We sure will. So I just want to point something out real quick. Double or Nothing, you know, is this weekend. And you look at, you know, Money in the Bank and Brock Lesnar came back. And you've had, you know, the continuation of the stupid superstar shakeup and all these other things that took place to lead up to this. With the announcement of the All Elite Wrestling TV deal, even the IZW show that we were talking about, they all took place in the most historic month, the month of May.
It's gonna be May.
That's number three.
All right, everyone. Have a great week. We will be back next time.
Wait, I wasn't ready with the next one yet. I'm still typing. You're still searching for it.
Oh
okay, here
gosh.
It is.
Great. Adult.